Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Okay, we're live, bro.
Oh, we're live. Assalamu, brother.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
We're here with John Fontaine, and they know who you are already, so why don't you tell
them? No, they know who you are, you know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm Abu Hafsa, Abdul Malik Clare.
What have you been doing the past few days?
I've been here running around the Mass ICNA convention in Chi-Town. You know Chicago is a real cool city? You know that?
Well, I've heard.
It's full of tough people.
My kind of town.
Yeah, that's what I... Oh, wow. Whoa. It's full of tough people like Al Capone.
Yeah.
And Mr. T. And Steve Urkel. And Webster. You know all those references?
I know what you're saying.
Okay, good. Alhamdulillah, but I love Chicago.
So basically, we're just doing a few clips for England. So we want a little reminder of yourself.
They may not get those references in England. Anyway, but I love England as well. Alhamdulillah.
I mean, you've been to Manchester, haven't you? My hometown.
I've been all over England twice. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I was in England probably four times altogether, but I did two tours of it, and I really loved it. I love going with all the brothers. And you know, England, you do everything by train.
Yeah.
So you get to actually go and experience the whole country, right? MashaAllah.
Yeah,
I went from London all the way to the south part of England. What is it? Oh, man.
Portsmouth.
Portsmouth was a wonderful place, yeah. Southampton, Portsmouth.
Yeah, you've been down inside.
All the way around there. Then I went to London and I went to Exeter.
Now, you were telling me yesterday about the brothers and sisters in Manchester and London and the UK.
Yeah.
And you like the atmosphere, right?
Oh, the crowds in UK are awesome, man. Like, they're vocal. They're kind of like Chicago, but they're vocal. I was in Manchester and I made a crack about the Manchester United team, I believe. And I actually got booed at a Muslim event. And I loved it. For saying, because I'm an ex-pro wrestler, so we have, you know, two kinds of pro wrestlers. We have the heel, which is the bad guy, and we have the baby face, which is the good guy. That night, I wanted to play heel in Manchester, so I got booed out of the building. But I love them anyway. They're great. All the way up to Sheffield and Wales, and mashallah, UK is amazing. And I can't wait to come back.
So, can you tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to Islam?
For those who don't know, who didn't see the videos and stuff, Abu Hafsa is my name. Jerome Clare was my name before Islam. It still is my name today, actually, still on my passport.
Yeah.
I learned how to wrestle at the age of 9. I was a professional wrestling student in my late 20s, I would say. Alhamdulillah. But during that time, I read the autobiography of Malcolm X. And Malcolm's story really had an impact on me. I really thought that, I don't know, I was blown away by his charisma. And the charisma that Malcolm had, I haven't seen it ever since. His story and his listening to his lectures. Even every now and then, I still go back and check the YouTube videos for him. And I think that if you're going to be a Muslim in the West, I think that, and it's not a fatwa, so you don't have to do it, but I really believe that reading his autobiography should be mandatory for us while living in the West. It's not, and don't quote me on it, and don't, you know, refute me or whatever. I'm not saying it as a fatwa, but again, alhamdulillah, I think that to understand the culture of here and to understand what people have to go through in order to find Islam would really soften our hearts towards the da'wah. So reading his story, I believe that it should be mandatory for anyone who wants to give da'wah in these countries. UK included, by the way.
Yeah. So where did you go from there?
When I read his story, I learned very basically that the Muslims believe in one creator. One all-powerful creator who is the Lord of all that exists and who is the sustainer of all that exists. And I really was captivated by that message. I wasn't much of a Christian.
Yeah.
I really wasn't, and I wasn't really searching for anything, which is makes my story a little bit different than a lot of people's. I didn't have this spiritual void. At least I didn't think I did, anyway. Yeah. I had questions, of course. Why are we here? And is wrestling, is that all I'm here for, is to beat people up and make them tap out? I had questions like that, but I wasn't really spiritually empty. At least I didn't think I was, anyway.
Yeah.
And alhamdulillah, I really thought that the message of one creator was what I wanted. Because I did believe in God. Not to say that I was an atheist. I wasn't.
So you believed in the something.
I always believed in something. I thought that anyone who doesn't believe in a creator was crazy. I really did. I really believed that. I just didn't know what he wanted from me at the time. And you know, I figured that if he wants me for something, then I'm sure he'll show me what it is.
Yeah.
And alhamdulillah, he did. Just that, when I was allowed to enter Islam, I went to a computer camp for blind people. I was a counselor there. I was working there.
Inshallah.
And I met a sister. And that sister ended up actually taking my shahada, alhamdulillah, in 1996. But the thing is, I went from 1992 until, when I read the Malcolm X autobiography, until 1996, and I couldn't find the Muslims. I didn't know where they were, and I there was no internet and all that stuff back then. You know, we had actual phones that had wires in them, right?
Yeah.
How old are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm 27.
Yeah, you're a little bit...
86.
Okay, you're kind of there, a little bit, sort of. Like, no one had cell phones when I was a kid, except drug dealers and police officers.
Yeah.
That's... You can laugh, you know that, right?
Don't worry, I'm laughing, bro.
These jokes don't get no better, so, you know, wait. So we didn't have the whole Guidance TV thing or IERA or anything like that. So it was really up to the Muslims to spread that word of mouth, and I really couldn't find them. And Allah didn't mean for me to find them. So alhamdulillah, I'm not upset about that, but... It really does bring the cruciality of spreading this message and sharing it with people.
Yeah.
Because Abu Hafsa is just one guy.
Yeah.
You know, you're just one guy. Yusuf Essis is just one guy. There may be thousands of Abu Hafsas and John Fontaines and Yusuf Essis running around America, Canada, and England. There may be thousands, and there probably are. But it's just up to us to properly present the message to them. And if they don't accept Islam, then that's fine too, because at least they will know that they're safe with us.
Yeah. As long as we've conveyed the message, we've done our job.
We don't convince, we convey. And that's what's really, really important. I believe that.
That's the most important thing. Because many people who are doing dawah, they misunderstand what dawah actually is.
Yeah, they think it's just about arguing and debating with people. Yeah. It's not.
Just getting that message over.
And whether we like it or not, not everyone will accept Islam.
Exactly. Can you just explain to us like the importance of dawah? Because not everyone's doing dawah.
No, not everyone is. And I think that when it comes to... Okay, if you think about it for a minute, right? Let's say, for example, to my brothers and sisters who are from the subcontinent of India.
Yes.
Or let's just say the Arab countries outside of the Arabian Peninsula.
Yes.
Where would you be today if the companions of the Prophet ﷺ didn't come to you and convey the message?
SubhanAllah.
I mean, let's say they just came... and married the pretty girls and opened businesses and then, you know, did their job, and then they said, well, I don't really care about these people, I'm going home one day.
SubhanAllah.
And let's go to the subcontinent, brothers and sisters. What would happen if those people didn't come to the subcontinent? Where would you be today?
SubhanAllah. That's a big reminder, bro.
And let's say, let's pretend you're from Mecca. Well, if Allah didn't send you a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where would you be today? You'd be still worshipping Hubal and Lat and Uzza and whoever and what else. So this is what's important. So now, guess what? You're in England, I'm in Canada, we're here in America. It's now become our job. Just like it was the Muslims' job before us, the companions' job before them, and the Prophet's job before them, and Allah has mercy before him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by sending us a messenger in the first place.
SubhanAllah.
So just think about that for a second, because I get it, sometimes people will forget, we're born Muslims, we don't need to give dawah. Well, you were given dawah before.
Yes.
You just weren't here to see it.
Yeah. SubhanAllah.
You were given dawah somewhere along the way. Muslims did not fall from the sky, in spite of what we like to think. Right? So since you didn't fall from the sky, since you weren't hatched Muslim, you were given dawah at one point.
Yeah.
Whether it was your great-great-grandfathers or even further back than that, you were given dawah by someone else at one point. And if you weren't, you were given dawah by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was sent by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So everyone has received dawah at some point.
Yeah.
So why should it stop now?
Yeah, SubhanAllah. So it's our duty to give the dawah. It's
absolutely,
on us now to do the work.
اِدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Allah ordered it. He didn't say, Ya ayyuha nabi, ad'u ila sabili rabbika al hikmah. He didn't say it like that. He just said it to us, that we're supposed to do that. If you know the path of your Lord, you're supposed to convey it.
Yeah.
Not just by giving an argument or by yelling at people or, you know, getting upset with them or debating with them. With your kindness and your societal, like that word?
Yeah.
societal obligations, yeah. Right? Alhamdulillah.
SubhanAllah.
That's very important. I really believe that.
It's good. I mean, it is so important. Alhamdulillah. I mean, you've been here today. You've been conveying a message, inshallah. So, what are your plans for the future?
Well, I wanted to just stick with this topic for a second.
Okay.
Because many people may wonder, what do I get out of it? Why should I do that? Well, the sister who took my shahada, now, she gets reward for every single thing I do now.
SubhanAllah.
Like, everything. Except for the bad stuff. I keep that one to myself. But what do you think would be the reward for giving shahada to someone like Yusuf Estes?
SubhanAllah.
I mean, really?
I mean, I remember a story of, Abdulrahim Green.
Yeah, he's another example, actually.
One of the ways in which he accepted Islam, he was in a black cab, and one of the taxi drivers gave him a Quran. SubhanAllah, can you imagine?
Yep.
This taxi driver doesn't know what's waiting for him.
And gave our brother Anthony, at the time,
Anthony.
A Quran. Now look, you see Abdulrahim Green, you see Yusuf Estes. And I ended up giving dawah to my wife, who took shahada from me when I was in Africa.
Allah.
So that same sister gets the ajr for that. Until the day of judgment. As long as, I mean, imagine if my family lasts for 3,000 years in Islam. Or more.
Yeah.
She'll see them all yawm al-qiyamah. So when you're giving dawah to people, think of the big picture. Think of the long term. Don't think of one person.
Yeah.
He may say no today, but you may still get the ajr for him tomorrow when he says yes.
SubhanAllah.
Or her, I should say, as well. So this is very important. You may see this multitude of people behind you on Yawm al-Qiyamah and you won't know who they are. And Allah will tell you, this is because you gave dawah to one person who rejected Islam when you did it, but who accepted it eventually.
Yeah.
And you may not even know about that. You may not have any idea about that, but you're getting all the ajr for them.
SubhanAllah.
And let's say that the person who you give dawah to decides to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And he or she becomes a da'i as well. And they become a speaker or a graphic arts designer or whatever it is that they do in their field.
Yeah.
And they help guide to Islam thousands of people during their lifetime. You still get the ajr for them.
SubhanAllah.
So don't ever think of it in a small window, because it's a big picture. It's not just a little thing.
SubhanAllah.
It's the ultimate multi-level marketing. for lack of a better word, I really don't like that business. But anyway, this is one that actually works and isn't a scam.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar.
So now, the future, what is it? I'm going to go to bed. That's my future. But tomorrow...
You're flying away tomorrow, yeah?
No, I'm not. We're driving down the highway. We're going to go to Kentucky.
Yeah.
Louisville, the chicken place. Yeah, that's right. And then on, I think, Wednesday, I'm going to Columbus, Ohio.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. And then on Friday, inshallah, I'm going to Atlanta.
Inshallah.
And then on Sunday, I'm going home, I hope.
Inshallah.
And then Monday,
you mentioned you've been to Africa.
I was four times in Africa.
Whereabouts in Africa was you?
I was in Kenya. I love Kenya, absolutely. Allah bless them and guide them and protect them.
I'm actually going to Kenya on the 27th with Adnan Rashid.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You guys should have told me, I would have went with you, brother.
Yeah, you should come with us, bro.
I can't now.
We've got a few trips going. You
27th,
know.
I'll be in Columbus, Ohio, and then I'll go to Atlanta. And then next month, I think it's Texas. I'm going to be in Texas. And I think Dubai next month as well.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
So, next time you're in Manchester, next time you're in England,
I'll let you know.
Yep, you're going to hook up.
You follow me on Twitter, right?
Of course.
Abu Hafsa Claire.
Yep.
At Abu Hafsa Claire.
Right?
Can you keep
Abu
that
Hafsa
in there?
Claire.
Can you keep that in there?
Yeah, don't worry.
Don't edit my Twitter.
We'll put it on the show, inshallah. Okay, brother.
Inshallah. Zakallah khair, John.
Zakallah
khair.
Just one last question.
Absolutely.
This name Claire, where does it come from?
Irish.
I remember when I walked up to you yesterday, you said,
Irish.
"Oh, we've got an Irish brother."
Aye.
Yeah, because I told you so.
Yeah. It apparently we spell it C L A R E.
Yeah. So we're
the
brothers,
French,
right?
They spell it C L A I R. But
so
yeah,
we're brothers.
We're brothers.
Because my grandmother was Irish.
Really?
Yeah.
MashaAllah.
So we've got the Irish clique going.
So we're
on here.
Irish-like, yeah. Kind of, sort of, that way there.
Aye.
We look sounding like leprechauns. I want me gold in Jannah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Wa yak, bro. Jazakallah khair.